All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. Welcome to American Vindicta. I'm your host, Doug Thornton. Remember how I've been telling you that I believe there's going to be an eventual regime change in Moscow? Some sort of an event that'll happen to take Putin out of power, because obviously he's not playing ball. Well, let's hear what Lindsey Graham has to say yet again.
Peter, I wanted to ask you, you mentioned escalatory moves. Why is it that when the administration says that creating a no-fly zone, which you agree would be escalatory, but then sending MiGs, which the administration and some of the intel community testified to this on the Hill last week, would also be an escalatory move in the vision of the Russians. Why do you support one and not the other, basically?
Well, a no-fly zone enforced by NATO would put NATO members in direct military conflict with Russian forces. That's what a NATO no-fly zone means. Increasing the capability of the Ukrainian military to defend its own skies is very consistent with the javelins and the stingers.
Even if we're the ones giving them...
Yes. These are not our MiGs. We don't have any MiGs. So these are Polish jets that are willing to be given to the Ukrainians that they can fly. It's a distinction that doesn't make sense to me. On March 6th, we're okay with it. So I think what happened here is I think Putin threatened the Biden administration, if you send the jets, it'd be an escalation, and he folded like a cheap suit. I say that openly. Now's the time to revisit that. I tell you this, it's just not me saying this. I am convinced if my resolution had a vote on the floor of the United States Senate, it would pass overwhelmingly, well north of 60 votes, with strong bipartisan support, because most of us see the distinction between NATO being directly involved and helping Ukraine with reasonable capability to improve their own air defense system. This idea that somehow 28 MiGs in the hands of the Ukrainian Air Force would lead to an invasion of Russia by the Ukraine is nonsense. And the people who are telling me it's escalatory apparently didn't say much on March 6th when we green-lighted it. What changed? I think what changed between the 6th and the 9th was that Putin weighed in and backed the Biden administration down. We cannot let Putin determine what we do in terms of military assistance, economic assistance, and I think that's what we're allowing to happen.
Do you still stand by your call to have Putin be assassinated?
Hmm?
Do you still stand by your
call? Yeah, I hope he'll be taken out one way or the other. I don't care how they take him out. I don't care if we send him to The Hague and try him. I just want him to go. Yes, I'm on record. Please understand, Senator Lindsey Graham, if John McCain were here, he'd be saying the same thing, I think. It's time for him to go. He's a war criminal. I wish somebody had taken Hitler out in the 30s. So, yes, that Vladimir Putin is not a legitimate leader. He is a war criminal. He needs to be dealt with by the Russian people. I'm not asking to invade Russia to take him out. I'm not asking to send American ground forces in Ukraine to fight the Russian army. I am asking the Russian people to rise up and end this reign of terror for you and the world at large. That if you follow Putin, you're going to have zero future. I encourage what Zelensky said, that every American company leave Russia right now. Leave today. I encourage the world to strangle the Russian economy. Our war is not with the Russian people. In many ways, they're as much of a victim as Putin as anybody else. The young journalist yesterday who held up the sign, now that takes guts. People like that change history. So how do I think this ends? I think if we stick with it, that if we help the Ukrainians fight for their own freedom, provide them reasonable assistance on the military front to regain control of their skies, help them with food and clothing and economic assistance, and strangle the Russian economy, that there will be forces emerge inside of Russia to end this. So I think the world is better off without Putin. The sooner the better, and I don't care how we do it.
All right, well, you heard it just straight from the horse's mouth. Today is March 17th, 2022. Tomorrow, March 18th, the Hear the Watchmen conference in Dallas starts. I will be there. I'll be accompanying my friend Dave Hodges around and maybe meeting a few of you here and there. But what I want to do today is I just want to be able to cover what's going on in the news, a little bit of the chaos that's happening. And let's just see what all we can find. You know, right now I'm trying to prove that the world is chaotic, that the world is changing, and politics are getting worse. This type of rhetoric from Lindsey Graham, he needs to be removed from office. He absolutely needs to be removed from office. This is how we get into a war that we can't back out of. We can always go into a war. That's not the problem. It's being able to halt the war or back out of the war. Just imagine the repercussions if people actually attempted to assassinate Vladimir Putin. What kind of a spin can be put on that? That they were CIA or that they were somehow affiliated with the U.S. government? That the American government was trying to turn the Russian people against Vladimir Putin, which put himself and his family in danger, and he can't take the risk because of his own agents or the military or the police or blah, blah, blah. And he decides to launch a damn nuke. Then what do we do? You know, I've been saying this for a while, but this rhetoric needs to be tampered down. We need to have a policy in de-escalation here. And whatever is happening in Ukraine and between Ukraine and Russia, they need to figure that out. If there's innocent people being hurt, killed, or maimed by Russia, by all means, let's step in and actually do something about it. However, that does not mean let's step in and fight the damn Russians, or let's step in and take out Putin. There are plenty of different ways that we can legitimately help. Though I question any of that, I would tell Ukraine, before we helped you with anything, you will have the Azov battalion completely disassemble itself. We will not be party to anything that has to do with the affiliation of Nazis, because there's your damn war criminals. He's calling Vladimir Putin a war criminal. Vladimir Putin's a dictator. He's a strong man. He was a former KGB agent, FSB agent. You know, he's always been this way. But, you know, I would also say this. Vladimir Putin hasn't been trying to take over the world. He's been trying to take back former Soviet ground. We'll give you that. But I don't know. I've always seen that they paint Russia as this boogeyman. This ultimate boogeyman. From every video game to every book to every movie, it's always the damn Ruskies. Ruskies are into something. They're trying to, you know, tear up the world because of Cold War, and they're Marvel's favorite villains. You know, it's the act is old. Vladimir Putin is a problem. He's a European problem. He's a Russian problem. He's not so much to the extent an American problem, based off of my point of view. My point of view is, you know who's a problem? People like Lindsey Graham, John McCain. These two war hawks went down into Ukraine in 2014, and guess who they visited? Was it members of the Azov Battalion? A neo-Nazi military fighting force? Questions that need to be answered, Senator Graham. But here's another thing to consider. We have all different types of problems right now just within the United States. Why do we continuously go around the world looking for more fights when we're losing all the fights here at home? From high crime rates, extreme poverty, we also have a completely deteriorating and open border. We're losing law enforcement officers left and right. The COVID-19 scandal is out of control. Our politicians have lied to us left and right. They've abused federal law enforcement. They've abused the Department of Justice to go after its own American citizens. They've labeled American citizens their own version of public enemy number one. They're calling you and me now the public enemy number one. We're the new John Dillingers because we dare to disagree. So, in my politics, I'm kind of an isolationist. I just want to be left alone. Even within my own self-politics, I just want to be left alone. I'm a very isolated person as it is. I've been around the world enough, and I've seen how crappy it can be. And I've seen how crappy our politicians are, and I can tell you this much. These two entities are just made for one another. And they haven't done me very much good, haven't done you very much good. So I would say, let's work on America. I'm kind of an America first guy, you know. Like it or not, I really don't care what your politics are. I'm telling you right now, if you are of a different mindset like these Democrats and hard-lined rhino Republicans, you don't understand true politics then, because you're being played. These people are playing you. They never give you data. If there's something that we've always noticed from the left, they never give you data. They give you emotions. Just look at the difference between Fox News and CNN. One tries to go based off of statistics and facts and science and data. The other one will say that none of this other stuff matters because hearts and minds matter. Or my feelings matter. Well, just in case you didn't know this, to all you crazy leftists out there, I don't care about your feelings, your precious feelings. Nobody does. We need to fix ourselves as a nation before we try to go and fix somebody else. We need to dig our own well for our own house before we go digging wells for the rest of the community. We're really setting ourselves up for danger here. So let's pull a little bit of the headlines up today, just see what's going on. I'm on InfoWars right now. Some of you know that I like going to InfoWars and Epoch Times and a couple other sites like Zero Hedge, but like the Fox News and the CNNs and the MSNBCs, I'm done with that trash, that garbage. I'm done with it. Absolutely done with it. If Fox News asked me to come on and to even speak, I would have to strongly weigh that because I don't think I would, to be honest with you. I don't trust half those people anymore. I like Tucker Carlson, and then that's about it. So let's get into this article. The stagflation trap will lead to universal basic income and food rationing. Oh, it's an article about the World Economic Forum. So before we get into this article, thank you to all the sponsors. Thank you to all you lovely listeners out there. Everything that you do to help support little old me and my mission that God has put me on. I am humbly gracious. I thank you very much for any donations, for the emails that I get, for any of the tips or pointers and news articles. I read them all, guys. I do. I read every single one of them. I look through every single link. And I vet every single source that I can. And I'll tell you this much. The people who listen to this show, to American Vindicta, are some of the coolest guys and gals. I really do like corresponding back and forth with y'all. And I'm sure by now you've noticed that I do respond almost immediately. I have nothing else better to do. I live on a small farm. So anything that pulls me off of chores, I'll answer my phone and send an email back. I don't know if we're going to do a show tomorrow or not. Because tomorrow, like I said, I'll be at the Hear the Watchman conference. So I may end up recording a show later tonight to play tomorrow. If you have any questions for next week, if you have any sources or any references that you want to send me, go ahead. Next week's topic, and it may be this topic for a while, we're going to kind of leave the realm of politics. Hopefully, everything de-escalates, and we can talk about something cool for once. But we're going to talk about unidentified flying objects and everything that I can find out about them. And much like the EMP series and the Revolutionary War series or the Nazi series, I do some very deep dives and I go into some real, real deep detail. And sometimes I can make an entire show based off of me just reading details of information that I've been finding instead of, you know, just doing this talk show kind of thing. Because I go back and forth. Sometimes I need to let you guys know what's happening in the wheelhouse here. But I like to really just get the information and just read it. To go along with the radio show for the YouTube and Rumble channel, we're going to be doing another special for the UFOs. So what you're going to hear on the radio channel side is going to be different from what you're going to hear on the YouTube video Rumble side. Because on the video side, I'm going to have a lot of dialogues, articles, pictures, and if I can, maybe some snippets of film that'll be thrown into the actual video. So that'll be something cool. Once again, I have no idea what I'm doing, so I'm going to do my best to figure it out. Hope I don't get hit with a copyright. But, you know, once again, I'm a fan of ufology. I've always been a fan of the whole aliens and all that kinds of crazy stuff. So I'm going to, you know, get to go a little bit wild and be loose with this because I love this direction of going, because when we go down the direction of ufology, to me, it's a nice break from reality. But at the same time, it's very much a part of reality. It's very much part of the hidden parts of history that I love to talk about. I have always been fascinated with history. I've always been fascinated with hidden elements of history. That's why I was always such a fan of somebody like Tim Alberino, because he's like, you know, living Indiana Jones. And by the way, Tim Alberino, the Alberino Analysis, please support him and his website. Get his book, Birthright. It's on his website. And he'll, I think it's next month, maybe. I'll get the information for you. But he'll be having his own conference in Tennessee. We'll be having Tim back on to go down this route with us over ufology and over what he knows about aliens. And hopefully he'll be able to get us hooked up with some other guests that you may have heard of before. So I think that's going to be a pretty fun week, maybe 2 weeks worth. We'll see. I still have a competition for you, a request. If you like this show, if you feel like you get any knowledge out of it, if you feel like you're really, I guess you could say, you're turning off some of the other boring mainstream conservative shows and you're listening to this show a little bit more, for one thing, thank you. I will definitely intend on making the material that I'm getting much better for you. That way, you know, it's fun to listen to, and it's not just always me sitting up here grandstanding on my soapbox and bitching about politics. That gets boring for me. If anything, I'll tell you this much. I absolutely hate talking about it. I like talking about the dark and mysterious stuff. It's just, that's just me. I've always been that guy that, you know, watches, you know, sci-fi shows, and I'd be sitting there with my wife and they're like, you know what? If they ever said, hey, we need a volunteer, we need an old crusty Marine Corps volunteer to go and help this mission to go to this planet, I'll volunteer as tribute. Just give me a rifle. I just want to go explore another planet. I think stuff like that's cool. I used to love going backpacking and hiking as deep into the woods as I could possibly get to the point that I was lost, because then I knew there was nothing around me that could tamper with what I was trying to find. And what I was always trying to find was something that was hidden. I always wanted to find my fear limit. Always wanted to find, you know, that hidden cave or that waterfall that's out of nowhere or the old abandoned bridge. Stuff like that just, you know, it always piqued my interest. So, you know, this is what I intend on doing here on this show. We're going to go over a lot of different subjects. And there are subjects I really do want to go over. I'm very big into cryptozoology. I'm a huge nerd when it comes to cryptozoology. I would say I'm probably the strongest nerd on the planet. And I want to go over cryptozoology really, really in depth here in Texas, just within my area of Parker County. Parker County, Texas has some very interesting things. We happen to have quite a bit of witches' covens. That's a strange topic within itself. We have some of the highest accounts of paranormal activity within Texas. Not too far from me in Denton, you have the Goatman Bridge. We have just down south me near Grand Prairie and some other areas. We have quite a bit of Bigfoot sightings, which I find that to be very strange because I don't know where the hell he's going to hide at. Back in East Texas where I'm from, sure, I can give that one to you. But, you know, it's different when we talk about, you know, the Rougarou from the swamps and then Bigfoot out here. So if you got any cool Bigfoot stories, if you got any cool UFO stories or cryptid stories, the I'm not saying that, you know, you heard a voice or you saw a shadow. We're talking about cryptids, okay? Like the creatures that always spikes everybody's interest. If you have any of those stories or if you got any pictures of it, send it to me. I will talk about it and I'll give you credit for it. I find stuff like that to be extremely entertaining and just outrageously cool. So anyways, we're going to go to a quick break and then we're going to get into some articles on InfoWars. And we'll be right back.
The time for political correctness is in the rearview mirror. The fact is, the American dollar is on the verge of collapse. It's been abused mightily by those in power. Massive debt, massive inflation have left Americans with few options. Most think they have no choice but to ride it out with their money in the bank. And sadly, they're going to awaken one day and all that money is going to be gone. Do you have an option? The answer is yes. Precious metals. But knowing to go into precious metals is not the same thing as knowing who to go into precious metals with. We have an answer for you. It's called Renaissance Precious Metals. It's owned and operated by the famed Steve Quayle, radio talk show host, world famous, and an expert in precious metals. Been doing the work for 34 years. So whether you're interested in gold, silver, platinum, and palladium, whatever your interest is, wherever you want to land in your escape pod, this is it. Renaissance Precious Metals can be reached at 406-586-4842. Call Steve Quayle at 406-586-4842. You can also visit them online at sqmetals.com. Ladies and gentlemen, don't wait. The collapse is underway. The time to act is now.
All right, welcome back. This is America Vindicta. So let's get into this article real fast. The stagflation trap will lead to universal basic income and food rationing. Real quick before we get into this article, remember to keep prepping. You know where you can go and buy food. You know where you can go and buy prepper needs from mountain-state-survival.com. You can also go to americanvindictashow.com. You can visit the My Patriot Supply link that's on there, and everything that you buy, I do get a small commission for it. You can also buy food from Bob Griswold. You can learn a little bit more about surviving from Bob. You can also better prepare yourself with precious metals from stevequayle.com, sqmetals.com. All right, so here we go. This is an article from InfoWars. From Brandon Smith. So thank you, Brandon, for this wonderful article. This past week, during a conference discussing Biden's Build Back Better plan, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi was confronted with questions on skyrocketing inflation. After referring to higher gas prices as the Putin tax, she went on to offer perhaps the dumbest or most insidious denial on the causes of inflation that I have ever heard. She stated, "When we're having this discussion, it is important to dispel some of those who say, well, it's the government spending. No, it isn't. The government spending is doing the exact reverse, reducing the national debt. It's not inflationary." So you mean to tell me, Nancy, that spending $1 trillion doesn't put us back into further debt, that it actually helps with inflation? Oh, man. I don't know how many wine coolers Nancy Pelosi had that day, but wow, what an idiot. What do you expect? She's a politician. Anyways, let's go into this article. Anyone with a basic understanding of economics and how central banks operate must have felt their brains explode when they heard this. I know I did. But before I get into the numerous reasons why this claim is completely false in every way, I want to give a warning. It's very easy in this situation to assume that Pelosi and even Biden are making these arguments because they are too stupid to grasp the fundamentals of debt creation, money velocity, and fiat. That said, never mistake evil for mere ignorance. All higher-level representatives of the White House are briefed by economic experts, or spin doctors, well before they answer any questions on inflation, and the things that they say have been carefully scripted. It's possible Pelosi mixed up her lies just a little bit, but the narrative the establishment is trying to promote is very well planned. Asserting that the money creation is a counterbalance to inflation instead of the cause is not brilliant, but it's not designed to convince many people, only create confusion. Let's not forget that only last year these people were telling the public that inflation was purely transitory and that there was nothing to worry about. Now they're trying to cover their tracks and the culpability of the Federal Reserve. I believe the goal here is to simply stall for the time until the stagflationary collapse unfolds. They have the perfect scapegoat as they launch an economic war with Russia and likely China in the near term. And the effects of this war will hurt the U.S. and Europe far more than many realize. To quickly break down Pelosi's bizarre statement, I will make a couple of root observations. First, paying down the national debt has nothing to do with reducing inflation. Even if you could somehow gather enough assets to pay off the national debt without creating new dollars from the thin air, the current inflationary problems would persist. There would still be the matter of the tens of trillions of dollars already fabricated and floating around the global economy. Inflation is directly related to money supply and money velocity. The national debt is secondary to the issue. Second, we need to ask the most obvious question. If the government's spending reduces the national debt by paying it down, then why hasn't the national debt gone down? The Fed and the U.S. government created over $6 trillion in fiat money in 2020 alone, and the national debt only went higher. In fact, the explosion of the national debt correlates directly to the amount of dollars created by the Fed to supply various stimulus policies and bailouts over the 10 years. The national debt in 2008, at the onset of the credit crash, was around $10 trillion. It took hundreds of years to reach that level. In the same span of only 14 years of Fed money creation, the debt has now tripled to over $30 trillion. I'll say it again. Government spending and Fed stimulus has tripled the size of our national debt in less than 14 years. And of course, inflation has spiked as the amount of dollars injected into the global system causes the buying power of our currency to decline dramatically. More fiat dollars equals less buying power. This is reality. Also, using Russia as a scapegoat just doesn't hold up on the logic meter. The assertion by Pelosi, Biden, and many establishment leftists has been that blocking Russian oil to the U.S. is leading to the inflation in multiple sectors of the economy. But it's, quote, necessary to stop Putin's invasion of Ukraine. One might assume that we use a lot of Russian oil, and we really don't. Russian crude oil only makes up 3% of U.S. imports. Therefore, there is no way that sanctions on Russian oil are the cause of rising prices. Nor do these sanctions have any effect on the Kremlin. Inflation was hitting 40-year highs back in December of last year, well before the war in Ukraine. In fact, news on the Fed's interest rate hikes moves oil markets far more than news on Ukraine. So to summarize, I have a special message for Nancy Pelosi. Please do us a favor and shut up, you blood-sucking crone. Oh, that's witty. The American people are smarter than you, and your propaganda script is full of holes. Oh, that's very witty. Good old InfoWars. We do have a problem with the incoming of the Great Reset, or the Build Back Better program. All this, I think, correlates together. The depopulation, the wars, the world wars, the rumors of wars, the civil wars. We all know where this eventually leads. We know that you can't have a beast system or that economy, that beast economy, if the whole world still has oil to pool, if the whole world still has various forms of currency. There has to be a one world currency. I believe China is working on that one world currency. All right, if you continue to read further in this article, you will discover the language about UBI, which is Universal Basic Income, and the introduction into that from a few years ago, which didn't sit well with most Americans. And then that comes into a World Economic Forum talking point, policy, law, whatever they want to call it, called the shared economy. Now, Forbes.com has this article on it. Let's pull it up for a second. All right, so here's the article. Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, have no privacy, and life has never been better. Contributor of the World Economic Forum. Oh, I can't wait to see where this goes. I haven't read this yet. Welcome to the year 2030. Welcome to my city, or should I say, our city. I don't own anything. I don't own a car. I don't own a house. I don't own any appliances or any clothes. It might seem odd to you, but it makes perfect sense for us in the city. Everything you considered a product has now become a service. We have access to transportation, accommodation, food, and all things we need in our daily lives. One by one, all these things became free, so it ended up not making sense for us to own much. First, communication became digitized and free to everyone. Then, when clean energy became free, things started to move quickly. Transportation dropped dramatically in price. It made no sense for us to own cars anymore because we could all call a driverless vehicle or a flying car for longer journeys within minutes. We started transporting ourselves in a much more organized and coordinated way when public transport became easier, quicker, and more convenient than the car. Now I can hardly believe that we accepted congestion and traffic jams, not to mention the air pollution from combustion engines. What were we thinking? Well, before I go any further into this absolutely ridiculous article, and you hear me constantly breathing really heavy, my nose has been stopped up. I've had congestion ever since I had COVID last year. It's like I just can't get rid of it. So sorry about that, but welcome to the year 2030. You know what's funny is that in the Record Chronicles that I'm still currently working on, I posted the time frame of my character for year 2037. because I do fundamentally believe that this is the end goal for many metropolitan cities and blue states, maybe even some red states. Depending on if we have a world war and we lose that war, we could very much look just like what they're talking about. After somebody else takes us over and we become useful serfs. Now, I don't know about you, but when they say, I don't own anything, I don't own a car, I don't own a house, I don't own any appliances or any clothes, what is that called besides the Matrix at that point? That is a dangerous notion of psychology. To be teaching young, stupid people, like the kids that we're raising nowadays, not saying your kid's stupid or my kid's stupid, but if you've talked to a college student lately, it'll shock you. I don't understand why people are falling for this, but there's going to be millions that do. Millions. Millions of people are going to say, man, I can't wait till I don't own a car or don't own a house and I don't pay a mortgage. I don't have a wife or a husband. I don't have kids. It's just me and the arcade and I get to do whatever I want. If you don't own a house, if you don't own a car, if you don't own appliances or clothes, do you have a job? Do you have a 401k? Do you have a retirement? Or is it just laissez-faire until you die? Because here's something that people don't interject too much into this little utopia. If you look at the rate that the homeless society in America is growing exponentially, along with drugs and crime, what about those people? Where are they going to be? I know they say that they're not going to have transportation, but if you're taking public transportation from one venue to another, how many of you have ran across the crazy guy on the train or the crazy guy on the bus? How many of you have seen people be violated or physically assaulted or accosted on public transportation? Most of the time, that's where it happens, is public transportation. So, what does that mean for the future of this blissful utopia? I would dare say that law enforcement better had step up its game. Because it sounds like everything's going to be free. And if everything's going to be free, then you're probably going to have more citizens running amok than we do now. And we already can't control it now. And it says in this article, it might seem odd to you. This seems very odd to me because it's not reality. This is fictionally based. You couldn't create a city and tell people just to go live in it and just go do whatever the hell you want. Just be good, kind people to each other. Go shopping because there's going to be the kleptomaniac who takes every spoon that he likes. There's going to be the person that, you know, then steals shirts or socks and underwear or the cool leather shoes or phones or watches and then tries to sell them because, you know, he's got friends outside of this, you know, little utopia and he's trying to be, you know, make his little own underground kingdom. This doesn't make sense. First, communication became digitized and free to everyone. How did it become digitized? What does that even mean? One of the things that bothers me with Elon Musk and his whole Neuralink, you had to put something in your brain. You had to put a computer chip in your brain. And then from there, your brain, it becomes a computer-like processor. All right? And I don't know if he plans on that being free or not, but that's one way that you can, you know, digitize communication. But have you ever seen what happens to your hand when you get a splinter in it? It gets infected, swollen, it hurts, and you just got to dig it out with a knife. What happens when you put the computer chip in the brain? The body's constantly trying to throw out any object that's not natural. So you want to, how many people are going to have the swollen brain problems from Elon Musk's Starlink? I don't know. That's just my opinion on that one. Yeah, I know some guys who actually say that they can't wait to have it. I don't know if that's hyperbolic or not, but no thanks. Here, let's continue with this article. Sometimes I use my bike when I go to see some of my friends. I enjoy the exercise and the ride. It kind of gets the soul to come along on the journey. See, once again, no facts, no data. This is all just emotional based. Funny how things seem... Funny how some things never seem to lose their excitement. Walking, biking, cooking, drawing, and growing plants. Aw. Well, isn't that sweet? And I'm guessing in your utopia, you don't own guns either. So I hope that you can throw in robbery, violent rape, assassinations, kidnappings, mutilations. Throw in and interject a couple serial killers and psychopaths here and there. You're going to have one great utopia because these people keep forgetting that there are other people that are predatory that will love to come to this utopia. And it says, it makes perfect sense and reminds us of how our culture emerged out of a close relationship with nature. Well, you can be a nature lover all you want. I've already gone down that path of battling nature, and it's constantly trying to kill me anytime I go out into it. In our city, we don't pay any rent because someone else is using our free space whenever we don't need it. My living room is used for business meetings when I am not there. So, you have no personal space. So, all your personal effects, your cherishable things, you mean to tell me you trust any stranger going into there, into your home? I wouldn't. Wouldn't at all. You know, this is the delusional type of people that China, that the World Economic Forum, that the elites of the world, this is what they need. It's these people who will accept the mark of the beast. These people. And there are more of these people than we think. Oh, God, help us. Here, let's see what else this ridiculous article says. Once in a while, I will choose to cook for myself. It is easy. The necessary kitchen equipment is delivered at my door within minutes. Since transport became free, we stopped having all those things stuffed in our home. We keep a pasta maker and a crepe cooker cramped into our cupboards? We can just order them when we need them. Really? Jesus Christ. This also made the breakthrough of the circular economy easier. All right, so now start to pay attention. When products are turned into services, no one has an interest in things which have a short lifespan. Everything is designed for durability, repairability, and recyclability. The materials are flowing more quickly in our economy and can be transformed to new products pretty easily. Environmental problems seem far away since we only use clean energy and clean product methods. The air is clean, the water is clean, and nobody would dare to touch the protected areas of nature because they constitute such value to our well-being. So you're not allowed to go into the woods anymore, I guess. In the cities, we have plenty of green space and plants and trees all over. I still don't understand why in the past we filled all free spots in the city with concrete. Okay. I don't think I can keep going down this delusional route. What happens when a volcano explodes? That's going to send debris particles all over the air. And there goes your clean energy and your clean air. What about tornadoes? You don't have tornadoes in the future? Floods, earthquakes, droughts, wildfires, hurricanes. You don't have any of these things? What about the locust plagues? You know, this is the delusional type of thinking and writing that our leaders want to get into, that our leaders want us to believe. Okay, real quick, and then I'm gonna shut this off. When artificial intelligence and robots took over so much of our work, we suddenly had time to eat well, sleep well, and spend time with other people. The concept of rush hour makes no sense anymore, since the work that we can do can be done at any time. I don't really know if I would call it work anymore. It is more like thinking time, creation time, and development time. For a while, everything was turned into entertainment and people did not want to bother themselves with difficult issues. It was only at the last minute that we found out how to use all these technologies for better purposes than just killing time. Well, you know what we did with a lot of those technologies? We learned how to kill each other. Because do you not think that the cartel's not going to be there? Or the drug gangs? I don't know. I'm done with this article. Shut up, Forbes. This is the nonsense that they try to fill our heads with. Here, let's click on this article. Pope Francis warns final catastrophe could extinguish human race. Well, I hope it doesn't, because I want to be able to live in my apartment where everyone can come and go and robots deliver me spaghetti. Anyways, Pope Francis warns the escalation of the conflict in Ukraine could lead to a final catastrophe that would extinguish the human race. Speaking during his weekly address, the Pope said humanity would have to start from scratch, even in the event of a thermonuclear war. Our imagination appears increasingly concentrated on the representation of a final catastrophe that will extinguish us, says Pope Francis. What happens with an eventual nuclear war, he asked. The day after this, if there will still be days and human beings, we'll have to start again from scratch, destroying everything to start again from scratch. The Pope highlighted how apocalyptic flood imagery is gaining ground in our subconscious, a reference to the biblical flood narrative found in the book of Genesis. Despite the Pope's warning, a new poll finds that a staggering one-third of Americans are willing to risk a nuclear war to fight Putin. I'm not. I don't support that at all, so sorry. Participants in a Pew survey were asked if they opposed or supported taking military action, even if it risked a nuclear conflict in Russia. 62% of Americans said that they would oppose U.S. military involvement, but disturbingly large 35% said that they were happy to risk nuclear Armageddon to support Ukraine. So what it seems like is 62% would be about the amount of people who voted for Trump, and 30% would be about the amount of people who voted for Biden, which kind of makes sense because those people want war with Ukraine, but yet, or war in Ukraine with Russia, but yet they can't even tell you why. Despite President Zelensky's relentless calls for a new fly zone that would almost certainly precipitate World War III, the White House has so far rejected the idea. And thank God for that. Because we don't need to be there doing that. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. We don't need to be there doing it. Doesn't make me a coward. Doesn't make me someone who doesn't, I guess you could say, understand warfare. It just means that I see that we have a corrupt nation and corrupt leaders, and now they are trying to tell me, convince me, these corrupt people, that we need to go fight and die in Ukraine. But for what? Yeah, there are people dying over there. There are people dying in Mexico every day, but we don't go save them from the cartels. There are people dying in Venezuela every day from starvation, from Maduro, but we don't go save the Venezuelans. There are people dying in Iraq and Syria and Lebanon and Yemen, but we don't go save them. What about Afghanistan? Oh, we left them. What about the people of North Korea, where the Hermit Kingdom starves his own people and butchers them? We don't go there. What about the over 10,000 Uyghur Muslims in China that are in concentration camps. So to include an unknown amount of Christians. We haven't liberated them yet, but we'll go help Ukraine because, well, it's Russia, of course. It's Vladimir Putin. He's the most evil man in the world. I would say in that top 10 of the most evil people in the world, I'm not putting Putin anywhere close to it. Sorry. George Soros, Klaus Schwab, Bill Gates, I got a lot of them. These are the leaders of the world. And there's a reason why they're trying to lead us to war. They're trying to lead us into another world order. That's why Zelensky recently was saying that we should re-examine old alliances like NATO and the EU, and we should create a new one so that we could better react and respond militarily, economically, or to any plague-like situation. Sounds very noble. Sounds nice, but I don't believe it. I don't believe it at all. I don't believe the lies in front of my eyes, folks. Let me tell you what I can believe. I believe what the Bible tells me. I believe what I see. I believe what I hear. I do my own research. I disagree with some of my own counterparts on certain things. I think a lot of what we're seeing right now is a setup by China to walk America and NATO into a war with Russia, taking Russia off the playing field. I think China has a very strong need to control Russia so that it can control those resources. I mean, they're the northern neighbor, so it's just right there. And before we go, since we talked about China a little bit, the Pentagon is to deploy over 2,000 troops to Australia by September to join an established rotational force of 200 in anticipation of a conflict with China. The Daily Mail notes that the contingent is part of an ongoing U.S. initiative in the Indo-Pacific region to prepare for a possible Chinese invasion of Taiwan in coming years. The report notes that 1,000 Marines have already arrived in the country. Australian Defense Minister Peter Dutton warned Wednesday that Beijing may look to annex Taiwan while the eyes of the world are on the conflict in Ukraine. China has signaled that it could use nuclear weapons in response to the AUKUS security pact between Australia, America, Britain, which sees the former receiving nuclear-powered submarines in years to come. Meanwhile, the head of NATO, Jens Stoltenberg, announced Tuesday that China must clearly condemn the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Quote, China has an obligation as a member of the United Nations Security Council to actually support and uphold international law, and the Russian invasion of Ukraine is a blatant violation of the international law. We'll see. We'll see how long this lasts. China is constantly throwing inflammatory language at the U.S. They're always talking about attacking us and how we'll suffer for 1,000 years and all this other bullshit that they like to say. China's not a paper tiger, but I do get very tired of hearing the little, you know, nuances like we're going to beat you up or whatever. Look, China, if you want to fight, just let the Marines know. They'll find out. They'll meet you. China is the true enemy of the free world. Don't ever think that they're not. Anyways, ladies and gentlemen, sorry for the rambling today. Next week, we're going to start the journey of UFOs. It should be a very entertaining week. And I hope all of you have a very good weekend. If you don't hear from me tomorrow, it'll be because I'm at the Hear the Watchmen conference in Dallas. So, to everyone who listens to the show, thank you very much. Please spread this show. Please go to the YouTube and Rumble pages and subscribe. Help build this show up as fast as possible. And everybody stay frosty, stay prepared. My name is Doug Thornton. You've been listening to American Vindicta. I'm out. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.